This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Dee Dee Smith joins me live in studio. She's with Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan, online at cvillewater.info. Dee Dee, the headline on the front page of the Daily Progress today says, Water Study, Dredging Would Work. So what does this mean? What is this about? It's
just great, Coy. And thank you for having me on. This is a report on the dredging study that City Council pushed for and mostly financed. The reports came out actually a couple weeks ago now, but there was a public meeting last night. The consultants presented their findings for phase one, and their phase one was basically reservoir characterization, and the results were wonderful. I mean, what basically they reported is that we have more water than we thought we did in that reservoir, still much less sediment. And what is really remarkable is they actually looked at how much sediment would you need to remove just to get back your water supply, as opposed to getting it back to its original contours. Because, you know, some sediment you can't, or some water you can't actually have access to.
Yeah. We're talking with Dee Dee Smith. The website is cvillewater.info. And the phone lines are open for you at 977-1070. So continue with that. The good news in this, I mean, y'all just must have done backflips when you read this thing.
Oh, you know, it just confirmed everything we had really believed about the reservoir's importance to our water supply and our importance to the future of our water supply. And we did. And I would hope that the City Council flipped, too, because they really put their belief that, you know, their money behind the belief that this was a valuable resource and should be considered in our future water
supply. So for the first time, finally, somebody who understands dredging has looked at this reservoir and said, hey, folks, you got more water here than you think you have. You don't have to take out as much sediment as you thought you had to, and it's not going to cost as much as you thought it would.
Well, the cost we haven't actually, that's phase two. They will get into costs. We know a lot about what this could potentially cost because in the past, dredgers have come forward. But that's another story. Let me actually continue a little bit with what they found.
Sure, sure. Please do.
There's a couple other really important findings. One is that it's not silting in as fast as we were told or as was believed. I'm not saying anybody was you know, misleading anybody, but it is about half the rate, which is important. That's important for the future of you know, how much water we'll have in the future. The other really important finding is there are basically no contaminants in it, including heavy metals.
And that's a big finding.
Yeah. There are small bits of this and that, but nothing even anywhere close to over the drinking standards. And they tested for 40 contaminants. They didn't, 39 of them, they didn't find any. And one was very low. And then, again, the heavy metals, and that's really important. Other really important finding is they tested the sediment. And while in one part of way upstream in the reservoir, it's mostly sand, that's good news. That's a very marketable commodity. The rest of it is, as in their terms, good for agricultural use. This means this is what Bob Fenwick calls green gold.
Yeah. Amazing. So in a sense, it won't pay for itself, but it will contribute to the money you spend to get the stuff out, turn around and sell it, and you get some of that money back.
It could pay for itself. I mean, that is one of the scenarios. In phase two, they will look at the options, and there are a lot of options in terms of how you take it out, at what rate do you take it out. The other really important finding in this study, and let me say, this was a comprehensive study. It's never been done on this reservoir, and it was expensive. And City Council paid for most of it.
But the county wouldn't join them in paying for any of it.
The county paid for, Ravana paid for the bathymetric and certain things that they were responsible for. I can't remember if Albemarle County Service Authority, but most of it was paid for by the city.
Yeah.
But that said, they characterized where the sediment was, how much sediment, you know, was in this section versus that section, which will make it much easier to build scenarios for taking out the sediment in, you know, either all at once or over time. There will be a number of really interesting options.
We're talking with Dee Dee Smith of Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan, reporting on the recent dredging study. A lot better news than anybody had anticipated. Will it give us, I got a couple of questions here. Will it give us the water that the proponents of the water supply plan, the 50-year plan, would dredging the reservoir give you the water you need? Because that's been a big criticism. Oh, you can dredge all you want, but you'll never get the water you need.
Okay, well, what I think the really important lesson here is what good studies will tell you, what good data will tell you. And the answer to that question depends on another question, another study that is desperately needed, and that is to revisit the demand study. We have 10 years of data that tells us that their demand numbers, that demand numbers means how much water will we need given the projected growth in 50 years, that their numbers are way off. Way off. And I'm talking...
Like, they're just tremendously inflated, you think?
Tremendously inflated. It really on the average at this point of about 20%. But last year, and it keeps going down in terms of how much we use, last year it was 28% lower than that plan is built upon.
So instead of just saying, will it give us the water we need to go back and say, well, how much water? It's this projected use is all screwed up. That needs to be redone.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that is what this dredging study illustrates, is we need better data. That is what Dave Norris has said all along. You cannot spend $200 million when you know your information is wrong.
Now, what about the wetlands? Because somebody told me, oh, we couldn't dredge because it'll mess up the wetlands and we wouldn't be able to get a permit. And what would, did the study address that at all?
Oh, absolutely it did. And let me say that the reports are online on Ravana, but also at sevillewater.info from the homepage. You can get right to the reports as well as the summary. The wetlands is one of four reports, and I thought it was very encouraging, actually. They said that you can easily put buffer areas around the wetlands. You can either not impact them at all, or you can mitigate if you do impact some. But the really interesting thing is that, think about it, wetlands formed in the very shallow fringes of the reservoir. So we're not even talking about the deep areas.
We're not talking about where most of the water is.
Yeah. So by avoiding the wetlands, you don't even impact how much storage you get back by dredging.
Most of the wetlands I've seen when I've been canoeing there, they're up Ivy Creek.
Yeah, you know? Ivy Creek is interesting. Again, very comprehensive study. And I encourage people to go look at it, and let me mention the forum in just a little bit. Ivy Creek represents about 17%. Of the volume. It's lost about, I think it was 38% of its volume, but it's not the bulk of the reservoir. Ivy Creek can be dealt with just like the rest, but would have to probably be dealt with separately because of the Woodlands Bridge.
Yeah.
Can't get equipment under the Woodlands Bridge.
Right. We're talking with Dee Dee Smith, and the phone lines are open, 977-1070. And what about the folks who say, well, if you dredge, you're still not putting money into all the repairs that need to be done? Because the pipeline from Sugar Hollow to the existing reservoir at Sugar Hollow, that mm-hmm. the reservoir that comes out of there to serve the city, that's falling apart. It's really old, and that needs to be redone.
Well, it's a really another study that has not been done. Quite frankly, is what is the disrepair of that Sugar Hollow? They love to call it old and brittle. It's actually cast iron. It's what all the water pipes in the United States practically are made of. And they're all coming of age at the same time. The technology just to repair and or renovate or replace this pipeline is happening all over this country. So the feasibility of replacing that Sugar Hollow pipeline is needs to be researched. Quite frankly, the estimates to do that back when they were considering all their alternatives were, you know, a fraction of what it would cost to build that new South Fork pipeline.
We're talking with Dee Dee Smith. Let me back up a minute and ask you, this whole water study, wasn't this to have been done a long time ago anyway? I mean, we're just now getting the results of this dredging study, but I thought years ago they said we need to do a dredging study.
Oh, absolutely. It's almost 2 years ago now that actually the City Council, Board of Supervisors, and the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority boards all voted to do a dredging study within a week. That those votes, even without them being rescinded officially, it was called off. And that is when that task force was convened.
That whole dredging task force.
Yeah, it was
ridiculous. Just a stall technique, wasn't it?
It certainly.
I mean, let's call a spade a spade.
I was on that task force, and I'll tell you, it was, you know, the focus of an awful lot of people on that task force was to stop a dredging, a real dredging study. In the end, it was effectively stalled the study for a year, but city council came back and then recommended, don't do a study for water supply. In fact, we weren't allowed to talk about water supply. It was ridiculous. But city council said, too bad. We want this information. We need this information. And this is exactly the study. These reports that have just come out prove why we desperately needed that dredging
Explain
study.
Explain this to me. What's going on? What's happening when something when people like yourself who served on the task force recognize that this is just a stall technique? Somebody's trying, some group or somebody's trying to prevent a real dredging study because they don't want this information out. What is going on this whole issue in this community? Explain this to me.
It is amazing.
Could easily get into some conspiracy theories here, but I don't understand this.
I wish I did. It's political. Basically. And what's really interesting is right now there is this question of the existing dam at Ragged Mountain, which all of a sudden there's this brand new story, this brand new fear mongering that something's wrong with this dam. And so city council is saying, well, let's study it. Let's look at it. Now they're saying, no, don't do that. we know it's bad because there's a letter from 1912 or something.
So when you say they... Who is they? Frederick and the Ravana board?
There are a number of spokespeople for who appear to be spokespeople. And, you know, these are the same folks who have been supporting it. Liz Palmer, John Martin, and Sally Thomas have all been very strong proponents of the community water plan. Liz Palmer did speak before. I don't want to speak badly of anybody. That, you know, I have my beliefs and they have theirs.
Yeah.
But she did get up and rail against the existing dam at Ragged Mountain at the last city council meeting and ended by saying, I don't think it's a good idea to study it. But you know what?
Just take my word for it.
We've just gotten the results of a study they didn't want us to do. And I don't know why anybody would believe we shouldn't then get good information. This is the lesson here. We need good, modern information.
It's 4:48 on the clock on the wall. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA. Coming up at 5:08, we'll talk live with Brian Wheeler, live in studio. We're talking now with Dee Dee Smith of Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan, online at sevillewater.info. Now, let me play my little conspiracy theory here. Rich Collins is on this water board. He's leading this water board. He's chairing this water board years ago. He's talking aggressively about a water supply plan that is all about being fiscally conservative, dredging, protecting the water supply we have instead of spending hundreds of millions of dollars to build a new water supply plan. That's where we were. Then all of a sudden, Rich is gone. A developer is chairing this new water board, and they're moving ahead aggressively with hundreds of millions of dollars of public money to spend on a totally new water supply plan that is a developer's dream. And is that the conspiracy theory? I mean, is that this is, when we say it's politics, that this new water supply plan is driven by those in the community who have a vested interest in growth, and they want to see public money, my money, spent on creating a new water supply so that they can go out and build homes and sell homes and plug them into this new water supply.
That's the
conspiracy theory. But is there any truth to this?
There's another part to the conspiracy theory, and that is what happened between 2002 when there was a plan in 2002. It was approved by the city and county. I don't think they had gotten as far as permits. And it disappeared because the excuse was, their numbers were wrong. Their calculations were wrong. Here, does that sound familiar? Like that's where we are now. Besides developers getting on the board, the Nature Conservancy got involved. And the Nature Conservancy was very interested in developing a model for how you work with water authorities to restore, you know, in this case, stream flows in the Mormons. But it was all very experimental. They actually still don't know a lot about the science behind it.
We were the lab rat,
yeah,
for the Nature Conservancy.
And you know, if we had needed, if it was still still seemed logical that we needed this huge infrastructure and we needed all this water. If nothing had changed, maybe you could make a case for that. But you know what? We don't. And so it is criminal, really, to go ahead and spend hundreds of millions of dollars for an experiment on river restoration, basically, when we don't need it. And
it's at our expense. The Nature Conservancy is not paying for this.
It's at the ratepayers, which is not everybody.
Yeah. Anybody who's on public water.
And those not on public water, they're not going to pay for it.
Crozet because they're on a different water supply. But, you know, the rest of us who are on public water, we're being asked to pay huge rate increases to fund this project of the Nature Conservancy that they want to create, that they would then in turn go out around the world and raise money on for themselves. Hey, look what we did in Charlottesville when they didn't spend a dime.
And I paid for it.
Right.
And this is actually something that we've said. I've certainly gotten up and said it. If this is about river restoration, then it should be paid for differently. Pay for it in tax dollars. Pay for it through the Nature Conservancy. But don't make the urban ratepayer, who are disproportionately poor, let's remember that.
Yeah, with their water rates going through the roof.
Right.
So what happens now?
Well, that's a really good question. I would hope that what we will, first of all, phase two will happen in the next couple months. There will be a report in May, June time frame, where we'll see alternatives, we'll see costs.
And that's this dredging study phase two, where the dredging people come back and say, you know, if this is what it would cost to move forward on dredging this reservoir.
Right. And quite frankly...
And let's be honest, that's going to pale. The cost that will come in will pale in comparison to what they're trying to sell us now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's got to. It's got to.
Because this is $200-300 million for a new, entirely new water supply plan that they want us to buy into.
And let's remember that when this plan was passed by the regulators, they were talking about dredging costing between $145 and $225 million, which is just ludicrous. So you're right. I mean, the probability is just off the charts that this is going to come in way, way lower. And as we talked before, under certain scenarios, actually could pay for itself.
Yeah. We're talking with Dee Dee Smith. It's sevillewater.info for all the information. I have said this so many times on this program because I'm, you know, folks know me. I always look at the political angle in this. I don't see how anybody who's involved in politics in an elected position can stand up and advocate for this hundreds of millions of dollars of public money to be spent on this new water supply plan at a time when we don't have enough money for our schools.
And all the data is pointing to the fact that we do not need it. I mean, that is what is so criminal. It is fiscally irresponsible for any elected official to support a plan that costs this much money that we do not need.
977-1070 is the phone number. We got time for a couple of calls if you would like to join this conversation. Again, it's 977-1070. We will go to the phones, and Greg is on line one. Greg, go right ahead.
Hey, how are you all? Nice to meet you. Hey, I'm a conservative, and I believe in growth, and I'm, you know, very, very right wing on most things, but we're at a time now where we can't spend that kind of money on a new water source. We need to develop what we've got, and you know, we can't support our schools right now or anything. And I just think it's irresponsible to start some big project right like that. I think we should dredge and, you know, take care of the infrastructure we have, and I'm going to sign off and hear a comment after that.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Excellent point. There's got to be a balance somewhere between being pro-growth and being fiscally responsible. And in a recession, it would seem to me that you'd start with the first thing, let's start by being fiscally responsible. Let's err on that side rather than erring on the side of being pro-growth.
And absolutely. But you know what? I have said over and over and over, this is not about growth. Our group has always accepted the growth projections. Given we have had growth in the past 10 years, we have had their projected rate of growth, and our water use has come down. And that is because our world is changing. And it is changing towards water conservation. It is coming not just from our local scene. It is coming from particularly the West. And we are a nation. We move as one. And it will continue. Yeah. The conservation will continue to be a major
factor. And that's an important point, Dee Dee, to underscore, is that the growth we've seen in the booming economy over the last 10 years the water use in this area has gone down during that time, not gone up.
And the other thing, important thing to
despite
remember.
Despite the growth.
Probably partly because of growth, because it is in growth, and particularly in new business, where we will see the most innovative and the most up-to-date and the most water-conserving technology as it comes online and as it comes, it's in growth where we'll see it first.
Yeah. And especially with local businesses and business owners who want to figure out a way to use water wisely, I think we're going to get to a time where anytime anybody builds a new home or builds a new building for a business, built in, there's water catch facilities that come off the roof, and that's just going to be a part of the way we do things.
Absolutely. In fact,
it'll become normal.
Yeah. One of our supporters, Richard Lloyd, likes to talk about the Holiday Inn where there was a conference recently, and he noticed that in the men's rooms, the urinals are waterless.
Yeah.
He said, this is
what we got here.
This is an economic decision. This isn't a feel-good decision. This is an economic decision.
This is when green and fiscal conservatism meet, mm-hmm. and we should celebrate that fact, and we should, you know, really capitalize on
this.
Absolutely. This is when the left and the right come together, because sometimes they do come together.
Right.
And this is, it's great, and it's something that we should recognize. And I think in this dredging study, we're seeing the same thing.
Oh,
we're seeing
absolutely.
An opportunity where two sides who usually don't agree on much can actually agree.
I think that's a wonderful point. And I would hope there's a lot of factions in our community that will recognize how absolutely valuable this reservoir is from a lot of different perspectives.
Yeah.
Water supply is only one. It is a recreational resource. It is an aesthetic resource. It is a property value resource.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of reasons. And let's also recognize that under the community water plan, it is slated to die, basically. It is slated to silt over and
in the
be 50 gone.
Year plan.
Yes,
yeah.
In the 50 year plan.
Dee Dee Smith, she's with Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan. You can learn more online at sevawater.info. We'll talk about this more in the next hour. Yeah.
Can I just mention our forum?
Yes, please.
On Sunday, this Sunday, March 14th, 2 p.m. in City Space, Citizens for a Sustainable Water Plan will present all the information you ever wanted to know about the dredging and the community water plan.
Sunday, March 14th, 2 p.m. at City Space downtown. Thank you, Dee Dee.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.